Chapter 25. In Vaccines We Trust. After being locked down and systematically terrorized by the mass media for most of 2020, most of humanity anxiously awaited the vaccine that was heralded as their savior and liberator. As vaccine investor and enthusiast Bill Gates repeatedly stated in the spring, the world would only be able to go back to normal when almost every person on the planet has been vaccinated against coronavirus. This was an uncanny thing for anyone to say, but especially for the man who had, just 22 years earlier, been widely considered the most ruthless monopolist since John D. Rockefeller. The proclamation that almost every person on the planet needed to be injected with a novel substance about which they knew nothing seemed like something out of a dystopian science fiction novel. When the emergency authorized mRNA vaccines were rolled out in December 2020, most of humanity was apparently unaware that they were not vaccines in the traditional sense of inactivated or attenuated pathogens that would induce an immune response. The new injections were the genetic code for instructing the body to create a foreign, toxic protein. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg understood this, and he starkly contrasted with the public when, during an internal meeting with company executives on July 16, 2020, he stated, "I do just want to make sure that I share some caution on this because we just don't know the long-term side effects of basically modifying people's DNA and RNA to directly code in a person's DNA and RNA. Basically, the ability to produce those antibodies, and whether that causes other mutations or other risks downstream. So there's work on both paths of vaccine development." Molecular biologists had been tinkering with messenger RNA since 1961, when Jacques Monod, François Jacob, and François Gros at the Institut Pasteur in Paris presented a paper about it, for which they later won the Nobel Prize. BioNTech was founded in 2008 and Moderna was founded in 2010 to create methods for using mRNA to intervene in disease processes such as cancer. Creating cancer therapies was the original concept of the founders of BioNTech. A major difference between natural mRNA, which is broken down by the body's enzymes soon after it performs its function, and the modified mRNA produced by Pfizer, BioNTech, and Moderna, is that the latter has been chemically altered with methods created by Katalin Karikó and Drew Weissman, who won the Nobel Prize in Physiology and Medicine in 2023 for their work on these modifications. Both use N1-methylpseudouridine-modified mRNA encoding the SARS-CoV-19 spike protein delivered with a lipid nanoparticle, LNP, formulation. These novel and highly experimental products were repeatedly injected into billions of people in 2021. We believe this was the largest and most ambitious experiment ever conducted on humanity. Because most of humanity did not understand what they were being injected with, the creators of this injection apparently perceived it necessary to erect something akin to a religion that deified the vaccines. This came naturally to them because many perceived that with their new messenger RNA vaccines, they were using God's language to direct the cellular machinery of the human body to do their bidding. In his 2006 book, The Language of God, NIH Director Francis Collins begins by quoting President Bill Clinton when he announced in early 2000 that the human genome had been sequenced. In fact, about 88% had been sequenced at that time, but as the leader of the Human Genome Project, Dr. Collins was apparently keen to make the big announcement sooner rather than later. At a press conference in the East Room of the White House with Dr. Collins standing next to him, President Clinton announced, "Today we are learning the language in which God created life. We are gaining ever more awe for the complexity, the beauty, and the wonder of God's most divine and sacred gift." Here, It is worth recalling the archetypal scientist playing God, whose lineage traces back to Mary Shelley's 1818 novel Frankenstein, or The Modern Prometheus, about a Swiss-German doctor named Victor Frankenstein, who applies his understanding of chemistry and electricity to create a living creature out of the dead. While this aspiration sounded interesting, in theory, Frankenstein's creation is monstrous, and when he is rejected by society, he becomes a vengeful serial killer. Already in 1818, Shelley intuitively understood that no matter how clever a scientist may be, he cannot mimic nature with accuracy. Nowadays, we often see examples of this in older men and women who have undergone cosmetic surgery. Even the most skilled of plastic surgeons cannot mimic the bloom of youth that only nature can bestow. An apt example of the scientist playing God is the already mentioned Eldon Tyrell in the 1982 science fiction film Blade Runner. Risa Peoples, the daughter of screenwriter David Webb Peoples, was studying microbiology and taught her father about DNA replication. Tyrell, whom the lead android playfully calls Maker and Father, references this in his explanation of how the lead android, Roy Batty, was created. The code of life consists of the trinity of replication, transcription, and translation. Replication creates identical DNA strands. Transcription converts DNA into messenger RNA, mRNA. Translation decodes mRNA into amino acids, forming proteins essential for life functions. While this is an endlessly fascinating field, the practical applications of it are still in their infancy. Anyone who claims that all potential outcomes of this experiment were understood is either delusional or lying, or both. It appears the gods of biotechnology initially expected far more resistance from the lay public to receiving the experimental shots. In October 2021, Bayer Pharmaceuticals Division President Stefan Ullrich gave a speech to the World Health Summit in which he expressed his surprise at how many people had been willing to be experimented on. As he put it, "I always like to say, if we had surveyed 2 years ago the public, would you be willing to take a gene or cell therapy and inject it into your body? We probably would have had a 95% refusal rate. I think this pandemic has opened many people's eye to this innovation." From the outset of the pandemic, those who were said to be working at the speed of science to create a new vaccine were presented as high priests of molecular biology and vaccinology. They used lots of Latin and Greek words that lay people couldn't understand. Anthony Fauci was presented by the adoring media as the Pope of the COVID-19 vaccine program. He frequently stated the mantra, "Follow the science," which consisted of his edicts, issued like papal bulls, that no one was allowed to question. On June 9, 2021, Dr. Fauci implicitly invoked the doctrine of papal infallibility when he proclaimed, "Attacks on me, quite frankly, are attacks on science." Those who did question Fauci in public forums and on the internet quickly ran afoul of an army of censors who worked for various internet policing organizations that resembled the Holy Office of the Inquisition during the Counter-Reformation. Doctors who advocated treating COVID-19 with old, safe, and effective repurposed drugs like hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin were branded as heretics and excommunicated from the College of Physicians and from the rest of society. The safe medicines they recommended were banned as anathema that could not, under any circumstances, be dispensed, even to a patient dying in hospital to whom nothing else was being offered. This religion wasn't entirely new in that it appropriated existing religious iconography and symbols in the same way the early Roman Catholic Church overlaid Christian symbols and rituals onto existing religions throughout the Roman Empire. We were reminded of this in 2022 when Vatican City issued a 20-euro silver coin commemorating the COVID-19 vaccine. As the Numista catalog describes it, the coin depicts a doctor, a nurse, and a young person who is ready to receive the vaccine. The Holy Father has repeatedly stressed the importance of vaccination, recalling that healthcare is a moral obligation, and it is important to continue efforts to immunize even the poorest people. Note that the formulation, a young person who is ready to receive the vaccine, is identical to the formulation for a communicant who is ready to receive the host. An Italian, pronto a ricevere l'Eucaristia. The obverse of the coin bears the name Franciscus, the year 2022, anno 2022, and the coat of arms of Pope Francis. With this commemorative silver coin, issued in the name of Francis, the Holy Father officially endorsed the COVID-19 vaccine and bestowed upon it his sublime authority and prestige, thereby suggesting that the vaccine is something like the savior of mankind. On February 10, 2024, Pope Francis appointed Catherine Carrico as a member of the Pontifical Academy for Life, which had been founded in 1994 by Pope John Paul II, to represent the various branches of the biomedical sciences and those that are most closely related to problems concerning the promotion and protection of life. Some churches suggested that the vaccine was a more powerful protector than Christ himself. A Methodist church in Cape Town, South Africa, draped itself with an enormous banner proclaiming, "The blood of Jesus will not save you from COVID. Get vaccinated." The words blood and vaccinated were both printed in red script, suggesting that the vaccine resembles the blood of Christ, only it possesses more protective power. The COVID vaccine religion quickly resulted in a division of society between the elect, that is, those who received the vaccine and would be saved by it, and the reprobate, who had not received it. This characterization is no exaggeration, as was evidenced by late-night host Jimmy Kimmel's performance on September 7, 2021, during a massive propaganda campaign to suppress ivermectin as a treatment for COVID-19. As Kimmel stated, "Fauci has said that if the hospitals get any more overcrowded, they're going to have to make some very tough choices about who gets an ICU bed. That choice doesn't seem so tough to me. Vaccinated person having a heart attack? Yes, come right on in. We'll take care of you. Unvaccinated person who gobbled horse goo? Rest in peace, Wheezy." In Kimmel's view, which he propagated among his fans, those reprobates who refused salvation by the COVID-19 vaccine deserved to die. Top professional athletes, such as Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers and world champion tennis player Novak Djokovic, were quarantined, ostracized, abused, and harassed, even after the CDC admitted that the vaccines didn't prevent infection and transmission. Djokovic's treatment at the hands of Australia's authorities when he arrived in Sydney for the 2022 Australian Open was one of the most shameful moments in the entire sorry saga. He and Rogers were not persecuted because they posed a risk to others, but for rejecting the orthodoxy of the COVID vaccine. Refusing to take it was the equivalent of an infidel refusing to convert to the one true faith. In their case, their high status made their public repudiation of the vaccines especially threatening to the religion. The persecution of Rogers and Djokovic highlighted a paradoxical notion that lay at the heart of this fanatical enterprise to vaccinate everyone. Millions of people believed that the vaccine would protect them. However, they were also terrified of being in the presence of someone who wasn't vaccinated. This implied that the vaccine would only protect an individual if everyone he encountered had also received it, which in turn implied the vaccine didn't prevent infection. To be sure, it didn't prevent infection, though few who placed their faith in it seemed to grasp this. An especially disturbing manifestation of the vaccine religion was that the vaccine was repeatedly administered to people even after they suffered violent, adverse reactions to it. It didn't matter that each shot in the primary series and subsequent boosters had clearly made them gravely ill. Because the vaccine had been deemed as an infallible savior, its administration was still deemed essential. In 2021, we received multiple reports about individuals who suffered increasingly severe reactions, including some that required hospitalization, to each subsequent booster. The most astonishing feature of the vaccine religion was that the fervent faith of its votaries was not in the least shaken by the fact that the vaccine did not, as originally promised by its creators, prevent infection and transmission of the disease. Millions of vaccinated people noticed this when they repeatedly came down with COVID, even after they received multiple boosters, probably due to antibody-dependent enhancement. Apparently recognizing that there was no way to obscure this reality, CDC Director Rochelle Walensky publicly admitted on August 5, 2021, that the vaccines do not prevent transmission of SARS-CoV-2. With this admission, the entire rationale for COVID-19 vaccine mandates in various professions, among federal workers, in the military, and for traveling, attending public functions, and even visiting hotels and restaurants in cities such as Washington, D.C., collapsed. Nevertheless, these mandates were maintained by the Biden administration for several months after Walensky made her announcement. Why? Was doing so a symbolic expression of faith in the vaccines and their miraculous benefaction, even though they didn't prevent infection? Or was there some other motive? We couldn't help wondering if the fanatically pursued global mass vaccination program was an expression of a much bigger plan for all of humanity. But what exactly was the plan, and who was behind it? Was it some sort of test or conditioning exercise to determine if all of humanity could be induced to accept a loss of individual bodily autonomy? Contemplating these questions often took us into the realm of speculative metaphysics. The global COVID mass vaccination program strikes us as one of the eeriest episodes in history. While passionately embracing the notion that the COVID-19 vaccine was their salvation, most people never stopped to think that they knew nothing about it. Nor did they know anything about the array of tricks and deceptions that had been perpetrated to foist it onto humanity.